episode of The Reality Is. As always, it's Noor, and it's early in the morning on a Saturday. I have been awake since 5 a.m. because Ramadan is still kicking. I was supposed to record an episode this week with Kara Berry of Everyone's Business But Mine. Who doesn't know her? If you don't, go get to know her. She's amazing. I was supposed to record with her, but you know what? I got disgusting kids, and my child has strep throat for the second time in less than a month. 20 days. Okay. I don't know what the reason for that is. My gut says that I should blame other people's children, but I believe it's my own child. He's disgusting. So unfortunately, it was just too crazy. Couldn't figure out the schedule. Hopefully I can get Kara back next week. But I'm just going to be riding solo today. There's a lot to cover. Okay, we got a lot going on. Rehearsals of Potomac had their finale. Summer House Martha's Vineyard, aka Martha's House, premiered. Vanderpump Rules had a pretty juicy episode. We had The Valley had another juicy episode. Summer House had a pretty good episode. I mean, there's a lot of content to cover, okay? Potomac, let's just go ahead and start with. First of all, the weirdest finale I have ever seen in my life. Also weird to watch it after the announcement. Not really weird, but interesting to announce it. Interesting to watch it after the announcements of Candace and Robin leaving. If you want to hear my thoughts about Candace and Robin leaving the show, head on over to Reality and Comics 2 with Kendrick Tucker. I did a whole episode. We did an emergency episode on all the casting shakeups throughout Bravo. So definitely go and check that out. But my quick thoughts here are good. Great. Bye. People seem to be upset that like they're not going to get closure on Robin's relationship. I hate to say it to you guys, but I don't think Robin's ever going to get closure on Robin's relationship. Did you think that she was going to grow? She was going to evolve, change, be honest with herself or her quote-unquote husband? Are they even married? I mean, no. She's never that man, you guys. She is never going to leave that man. He's got her, okay? She's never going to be honest about her relationship. And to be honest, I think that what's likely going to happen is that now that she's on the show, she's going to be able to do whatever she wants in her life with this man. Whether she chooses to continue to stay with him or whether Juan gets more open about the openness of their relationship or whatever. Without the pressure of the cameras and every, you know, few months, Juan having to pretend like he likes this woman and Robin having to pretend like she's not constantly insulted by this man, they might both be in a better place. They might be less angry at each other. Who knows? Okay. But good luck. Good luck to you on all. Good luck on all of your future endeavors. Keep in touch. Love you so much. No, I don't love you. I mean, I love Robin in that I love all women who I feel should be loving themselves and doing better for themselves. This fight with Deborah and them turning it onto Candace, I mean, not surprised, but thank God for all the footage that proved otherwise. Them trying to be like, well, Candace was instigating by lifting up a bottle. No, that's not how that works. The person that was instigating was the person who kept trying to have a conversation with a person who wants nothing to do with you. It's Deborah. Okay. Poor Kiarna. What a gorgeous woman. She owns a med spa. That's her business. Her face is her business. How are you going to attack her? Smash her in the face? No. But obviously the juiciest part of this was me and Gordon. The most confusing and hilarious group of people, by the way. It's real juicy stuff. Apparently there's this guy. His name is Inc. I believe it's INC. It stands for Incorporated. Either Incorporated or Incognito. Is it Incognito? Because he's very difficult to Google. So Incognito feels right. He is apparently a radio personality at a station that we don't know. My gut says that my boy has a podcast, a YouTube channel. Hi, the kettle is calling the pot black or whatever that is, because I am doing the same. Anyway, the most confusing part of this is it felt very intense and, you know, juicy. Apparently Mia always was on and off with this man. She was with him for years. Then she meets Gordon. Gordon's got the money. Gordon says, yeah, you could be my wife. Do whatever. We have an open relationship. Mia says, okay, cool. So you're going to finance me while I still continue to go and sleep with this other dude? Yeah, great. Obviously, what doesn't make sense here is that Mia said that she did have more money when she met Gordon, and she said that Gordon was filing bankruptcy when she met him. Okay. So we know that Mia is a liar. What am I saying? I mean, it was good. It was confusing because on the reunion trailer, Gordon and Mia and Incorporated or Incognito seem fine. Okay. They seem great. I don't know where Potomac goes from here. I hope somewhere good. I hope somewhere better. Again, very depressing, the state of the land of Potomac, because I love it so very much. Summerhouse Martha's Vineyard. Let's talk about that. What a bright spot on an otherwise very sad Sunday, because usually Potomac is on Sundays, and also it used to be Married to Medicine on Sundays. And as you know, Married to Medicine really upset me, really chapped my ass this season. So I didn't really watch it, and it was making me too upset. But Martha's Vineyard, Martha's House, oh, I love this show. I love everyone here. I love Shanice, okay? Shanice is my rabble rouser, my little messy boots. I love her so much. I love that she's like just the goofiest, silliest lady. I know that she's going to do something completely out of pocket and then be like, what? We were all having fun. What's the big deal? And you know what? Everybody needs that on a show. I love everyone also because when they, you know, we're catching up with everybody. Everybody's coming into the house. The room situation is especially shady. Like one person, Noelle, right? Noelle using a room that has double beds. These are men who are aware of what it looks like when you throw a tantrum about a woman and where she gets to sleep. Because I'm not that nice of a person. If I saw that, I would be like, oh no, this doesn't make any sense. Get your ass downstairs. You don't get to share a room that's obviously made for at least 2 to 4 people and have it by yourself. But you know what? I love it. I love it because like they don't give a fuck. These girls don't give a fuck. And they're using the camera privilege to their advantage. And I appreciate that. Yeah, everyone's coming in. We met Noelle. She's new. The one guy I feel like isn't there. The one with like the light eyes, who was like kind of a woo-woo spiritual dude, I think. I couldn't tell if he was spiritual. I don't remember what his name was. But he came halfway through last season because Mariah and Phil left or were invited not to return. He's not there. And obviously Silas isn't there. We do have to endure Silas over FaceTime, which, you know, I'd really rather not. No thanks. Preston, love Preston. By the way, go and check out Taria Faison's What Else Is Going On podcast. Definitely go check it out on YouTube. She did a great episode with Preston of Summer House Martha's Vineyard, and it was lovely. Preston is my favorite. I love him. He's a great follower on Twitter. Preston is always on the right side of history. Okay, let's just say that. I really enjoy him quite a bit. But, you know, this episode, they made crabs. I love the fact that not one of them said anything. They were like, oh my God, this is too much Old Bay. But they all ate that crab right up because you know it probably tasted delicious. They're going to make good food on this show and they're going to eat that good food. And I love that too. The other thing I love about the show is that when anybody is fighting, all their fights start with, listen, I love you. I love you to death. I love you. You're my favorite person. I would take a bullet for you. I would take a bullet for you, but listen to me. You're a dumb bitch. I love it. I love it. Listen, I didn't mean to call you a dumb bitch because you know that I love you. I love you to death. You're my favorite person in the world. I would give you all of my organs, okay? But I think you're a stupid slut. I love that. I love that kind of fighting. You know who I don't love is Alex. Alex is the worst, okay? He is the worst. He is, I mean, we all knew that he was full of shit because last season when he came in being like, I'm spiritual and I'm a vegan and I do yoga and, you know, I'm trying to like be a on my higher self, you know, thing. I hate guys like that. Okay. No man like that is honest. Okay. Any guy who does that and then also takes like super thirsty pictures of himself doing like push-ups and sit-ups and shit, he's full of shit. Alex seems like the kind of guy who loves Jay Shetty. Okay. He seems like the kind of guy who follows like who would honestly go see fucking Tom Sandoval's weird ass therapist that we met this week. That's the kind of guy Alex is. And you know what sucks about Alex? Alex tries to use the nice guy, Mr. Spirituality, Mr. Yoga, Mr. Vegan thing to justify, to basically get women. And then when those women are like, oh, you're a good guy, I would like to settle down with this good guy, or I would like to like be open with it, or but like everybody to know that, you know, I'm fucking around with this good guy. He's like, oh, it's weird. You took a picture of me and put it on the internet without asking. Yeah, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with you, Alex? Alex is the worst. First of all, you're putting your hangouts behind a paywall. Be for fucking real, okay? John Legend's like third cousin, fourth removed, whatever the fuck you are. Get out of here. I also love that in a classic second season glow up way, the biggest other fight is essentially that the show came together based on one group of people. But after the show wrapped, another group within that group of people started becoming friends, and the original friends were left out. Basically, Jasmine is mad that she made all these people be friends with each other and then they stopped inviting her places. Hey, maybe they stopped inviting you places because your stupid husband is always trying to tell you that you can't do anything. Your husband last season was mad at you for like going out and getting drunk with your friends. Why would anybody want to invite you to a party or a vacation? No thanks. You're going to be a Debbie Downer and you're going to be FaceTiming your stupid husband who sucks. Or worse, you're going to bring your stupid husband. Ugh. I hope he's safe, by the way. Peace and blessings to him. I think he returned. He was, I'm assuming, in the Ukraine-ish area. You know, I have thoughts about the army, and I'm going to assume that you guys know what those thoughts are. But I hope he's back and he's safe, and it looks like they're having a baby. So congratulations to you, Jasmine. Anyway, I just love that this is like a classic second season blowout fight. You had a similar one like this with Summer House originally, original Summer House. I remember it was like them being on their high top reunion stools because I think first season didn't get a reunion. Second season did. And the big thing, the big fight in the second season was Kyle wrote a 17-page email to the girls because they were not hanging out with Amanda. And the reunion ended on second season with the girls being like, okay, Amanda, we'll see if we want to hang out with you off camera. And I love that. I love that kind of stuff because there's like a TV component to it, right? Which is that like we need to establish a friendship off camera so that when we get together on camera, it's natural. But there's also the real life component to it, which is like not everybody needs to be friends. I think that's okay. But I love the show. I love everybody. I'm glad everyone's back. The folks that are back are back. I really like Noelle. She's really doing in some good facial work for the camera. She's trying to become a GIF. And I think she's well on her way to becoming either a GIF or definitely a staple on the reaction encyclopedia page on Twitter. Let's go over to Vanderpump Rules. Okay. Vanderpump Rules. The first few scenes were like Tom putting on his sheets with Billy Lee and like and the assistant potentially interviewing to work with my girl Ariana. Apparently there's like, you know, you guys know I don't keep up with the extracurriculars, but apparently there's some stuff out there that, you know, Anne left Tom to work for Ariana because Tom was awful to Anne. He was really mean to her. He would be terrible to her. And so she started working for Ariana. But then Tom was like out there being like, I don't think they work together anymore. So like, just like the sandwich shop isn't opening up. I don't think that Anne really has a job. I think Ariana's pretty busy. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if just Anne being the delight that she is and working with Ariana for like a second now got her a ton of Instagram followers or TikTok followers. And now she's going to be riding off into the sunset on that social media money. I think she's good. I think she's good. I think that Ariana did more for Anne than you could, because I think anybody who comes on a show and wins the hearts of Ariana is going to get a follow by the people on social media. Unlike you, anybody who is nice to you or anybody that you are around is losing followers. So there's that. Billie Lee's trying to, I really genuinely thought T was Billie Lee's girlfriend, but Arthi was right because she was bringing this girl around for Tom to go on dates with. So weird. No thanks. She's a child. Okay. Ariana gave her great advice at the end of the episode. Shorts and Lala go out for smoothies, and that's when we find out that Shorts he calls them sober benders. If you're calling your sober periods of life benders, we need to reevaluate what's going on in your life. But you're Tom Schwartz, so I think we're past evaluation. I think we're past evaluation and we're delayed into institutionalization. Put this man away somewhere, okay? He is not fit for society. He says that occasionally he likes to get blacked out. Sometimes it's just nice to go hard. He says moderation, everything in moderation, of course. But sometimes it just feels good to fuck everything up. Okay? That's alarming. That's alarming. You've shared with us that your brother has had an addiction problem and that he is suffering because of his drinking problems. He also casually drops that he made out with Sheena in Vegas. And Lala immediately tells Katie. That conversation with her and Katie was great. Love Katie's reaction this whole time. Okay, no outbursts, nothing. She's like, okay, this fucking sucks, but fuck you guys. It is what it is. We go to Hotel Ziggy, where DJ James Kennedy is Wiggy Wiggying. He's got his little DJ show. And Joe shows up. And Joe feels bullied. Now, Sheena does go up to Joe and is like really annoying. Like, take off your hat. Leave Joe alone. If she wants to wear a hat, let her wear a hat. Who cares? But for Joe to start feeling like everybody's aggressive, for her to sit in that corner and cover her ears and say, I have ADHD and this is really difficult for me, blah, blah, blah. Well, a lot of people on the internet that are assuming that she is on the spectrum. Earth to all of you, breaking news. We're all on the spectrum. We all got something. And the thing is, though, that we're all also adults. So the same way that people on the spectrum are responsible for good decision making for themselves, especially once they become adults and they're fully functioning people in society, like getting good therapy or getting good services, Joe is responsible for herself. She's showing up to an event where she's fucked over multiple people at this event. She knows what she did. She knows what she was complicit with. And she's so uncomfortable about all these people that obviously hate her being there that she's making herself the victim. She's saying, oh my God, they're bullying me. She's sitting in the corner. She's staring at them and covering her ears. Why are you staring at them? And obviously she has a panic attack. She sobs and she leaves. But she sobbed and left and had a panic attack because of her own actions. She showed up at an event. They all thought Ariana wasn't going to show up. She showed up with Katie looking amazing. They all just talked to each other. They didn't even talk to Joe. Yeah, were they whispering about her and talking shit about her? Sure. But they were talking shit about her because Joe did shitty things. If you act like a piece of shit, you can't play the victim when people talk about how you were a piece of shit and then be like, oh no, I'm being bullied. No, That's not how that works. You fuck other people's boyfriends and then get nervous in public spaces around them. That's on you. This is the same shit that Rachel was trying to do last season or off camera. It's like, yeah, you're going to act like a monster and people are going to treat you like a monster. That's not bullying for being called a monster when you are behaving like a monster. It's the same shit that Tom Sandoval's trying to pull right now. Tom tries to talk to Ariana with his stupid fucking thunderbolts dangling in everybody's face. Are you for real? Ariana is minding her damn business. She's talking to her friends, looking amazing. And that piece of shit comes around. Hey, Ariana, look at me. Like, I'm so innocent. Like I'm just like coming here to like say like, hey, like I'm like waiting for us to be on camera. So everybody sees it in a crowded room. Like, look how coy and nice I am. Like, could you like have your lawyer like could you respond about the house? Like, we sent you a notice and like what? Like, look at me. Look at me. I'm such a sweet, gentle guy. Don't pay attention to the thunderbolt jewelry that I have dangling in your fucking face. Like, I don't know what the fuck that's about. Go fuck yourself. Ugh, Ariana. She's amazing. And then for Lala to be like, it was so intense. Like, I felt bad for Sandoval. Why? 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 Are you stupid? Are you dumb? Why do you feel bad for him? Lala's obsession with Ariana not moving out. Like, oh, the brand deals are good. You're good with money. No, Ariana not moving out until recently when she bought the money after almost a year and a half of like, after a year of getting brand deals and saving up money and all that stuff and working so fucking hard to get them and then finally buying a house, that's smart. At this point, it's been 6 months. And she has shared that prior to Scandoval, she was down to her last $2,000. She didn't know how she was going to make ends meet. Tom Sandoval saying to around all over like, oh, Ariana never paid for anything. I paid for everything before everything fell apart. I took care of her, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but you still fucked her friend. Thanks for paying the bills, but you still fucked my friend. When I was at my grandmother's funeral and I was putting my dog to rest. Thanks for paying the bills, but those two things have nothing to do with each other. You were in a committed relationship and you made a choice to pay for bills in a home that you shared with your girlfriend of 10 years. Then you decided to fuck her over, probably not the first time, but in the worst way, very publicly. And now 6 months later, people like Lala are expecting her to move out of that house because she's got some money now? No, that's not how that works. Good on Ariana for making good financial decisions. You guys wouldn't understand that, okay? Katie confronts Sheena at this party about kissing Schwartz. And Sheena tells a story that sounds a little bit like assault, you guys. Like, are we going to ignore the fact that Tom basically says, like, when things are bad with me and Katie, I would just, like, go and do fucked up shit like a coward and just, like, do these things to piss her off. Okay, fine, you went and found girls to make out with, but you grabbed Sheena, pulled her aside. She's engaged. She's engaged. You grabbed her and tried to kiss her. And Sheena chose not to tell anybody that? Sheena says all these, she tells many tales about why she didn't tell Katie. Katie's intimidating. Tequila Katie was at her peak. Blah, blah, blah. Why wouldn't you tell anybody that one of your guy friends in this group who is dating another one of the girls in your group is trying to make out with you despite the fact that you are an engaged woman? Why wouldn't you tell anybody that? Sheena is not a girl's girl. We know this about Sheena. Sheena's a pick me. And you guys know I love my Shishu. I think that she has the best of intentions. But Sheena is very much driven by the patriarchy. Sheena is very much a person who is driven by the acceptance of men. And again, I'm sure she would blame all that on, at the time, the girls weren't being nice to me and only the guys were nice to me. So I didn't want to break that. Okay. But how nice is that guy if he's trying to kiss you despite the fact that you're engaged to somebody? Like, what the fuck, Sheena? Ugh. Then we get multiple scenes of Lala and Sandoval's budding new friendship. Suck my dick. Okay? Suck my dick with this shit. Okay? Go away from me with this, Apollo. What the hell is this? First, you get Lala and James going to lunch with the Toms. I'm sorry. What? I didn't know we were all buddies. Tom, like, casually, Sandoval casually tells a story about Maya the dog eating tons of things. Like, laxatives that are sitting around. And I'm like, okay, not great. What? Why aren't you guys storing things? I imagine having dogs is much like having children. Especially because later Ariana says, like, my dogs are like my children. And with my kids, you put things away that are not safe for kids. Why wouldn't you do the same for your doggos? What's going on? That's a big old dog. I don't think she's climbing up on counters. Why are the bottle of laxatives? First of all, why do you have like 500 mg of laxatives? What's going on there? Let's talk about your poop health. I hope that you're rebuilding your gut flora, getting some probiotics, and have some fucking Greek yogurt. 500 whatever of laxatives? Honey, take him from somebody with experience. That's bulimia. Anyway, he casually mentions that something happened with the dog and he had to go deal with it, and that's why he was fake. He was late. That's why he was fake. No, he's a fake person. That's also true. Lala casually shares this thing about being a water sommelier. No. And then Tom asks Lala to join him for his healing journey, which is then leading us to being subjected with a scene where Tom and a man named Dr. Wu, who the internet, I Googled him. He is on the show. It says lifestyle and performance specialist. His Twitter bio is, quote, "I help professional men maximize their physical, mental, and sexual performance." No. Declined. Abort. No, thank you. Unsubscribe. Swipe. Nope. Mm-mm. No, thank you. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Lala walks in wearing a camo jacket and platform heels I owned in 2002. And Sandoval's like panting and then he's screaming. And this man shows up with a pillow in his hand. And I genuinely thought that he was going to get smothered. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I was disappointed that he did not get smothered. In the words of Monique, I would like to see that. Okay. What is this? What the fuck is this? Why can't you just go see it? It's like those memes. Men will do anything but go see a real therapist. Like, go to therapy. What is wrong with you? Also, this guy, like, I looked him up. He's like one of those dudes that's like on The Doctors or The View. Like, he's like he's like Dr. Oz, basically. I thought that he wasn't a real doctor. He is an MD, but like, he, whatever the hell lifestyle and performance specialist means, he's that. The last time I heard lifestyle used in this nonsensical way is Sonia Morgan selling Alibaba dresses and toaster ovens. Okay? It makes no sense. Anyway, Lala's bizarrely impressed, which again raises concerns for me, but also not, because like, this is who Lala is. And then Lala and Tom have this like conversation on the patio. And again, Lala starts blaming her past. She says things like, you know, what you did is not my fight. Great. But again, she's taking her experience of how she dealt with her ex and putting it on Ariana. Like, last year when everything went down, she went so hard. And she says the reason why she went so hard is because she was so triggered because Tom reminds her of Randall and this, that, and the other. Okay. You went so hard against this person. You made merch. You made all this money. And once the send it to Daryl sweatshirt stopped selling, because I don't know why anybody bought that in the first place, but once your stupid Scandoball adjacent merch stopped selling, you decided Ariana's not worth it for me anymore as a friend. I'm not making money off of her anymore. So it's time for me to start supporting somebody else. But anyway, she says that she went so hard against Sandoval because he reminds her of Rand. She says, all straight men trigger me, and that's my problem. And I shouldn't be fighting that fight for somebody else. Me yelling at you isn't going to do anything. This isn't my business. This is not my problem. Okay, cool, fair, fine. It was only your problem, again, when you were getting Uber Eats ads and making money off of it. Cool, bet, got it. But the thing is, she's still applying her own personal experience now on Ariana. She keeps saying stuff like, I don't want Ariana to be bitter. I would do this in this situation. I would do that in this situation. Okay, but that's not who Ariana is. She doesn't need to do the things that you're doing. She keeps trying to be like, Ariana, like having this much hatred in your heart, like it's not healthy. Trust me, I went through it with Rand. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Ariana does not have children with Tom Sandoval. If she doesn't want to fuck with him for the rest of her life, she has the choice to do that because she does not have children with this man. Number two, Ariana is not blazing the world and acting a fool the way you were, Lala. The only person Ariana has shown any aggression to is Rachel and Tom Sandoval. All she told the rest of the crew is, I'm not really going to be your friend and I'm not really going to film with you if you guys start to build a relationship with Sandoval. And guess what? She's obviously still filming scenes with you guys. She's obviously still doing the show with you guys. She didn't cut you off. She stayed on the show. She knows you guys went on these trips. She sees you guys talking. But like Lala making it seem like Ariana is going to regret the way she's behaving because Lala regrets the way that she behaved is crazy because Ariana's not behaving the way you behave, Lala. She's not. She's actually a sensible, normal person. And again, you don't want Ariana to behave the way you behave, but you keep bringing up the fact that you would have moved out of that house by now. So like, which one is it? Pick a lane. Ariana's pretty grown up and Lala acts like a child. And there's a huge difference between the way that they both behave. So stop assuming that because you were a dumb asshole, that Ariana is also going to be a dumb asshole. She's not. During interstitials, Allie makes an avocado toast with banana sandwich. And I realize I think maybe we don't know enough about Allie. Seeing her say that she likes bananas with her avocado toast made me go, huh, but also, ew? Like, I like pomegranates on my avocado toast. But a banana? I like plantains with guacamole. But a banana? That's pushing it. And that's disgusting. But also, you're with James. So, who am I to yuck your yum? Speaking of sandwiches, there's a something about her tasting event and Lala is being a straight ass hater. Why are we here? Can we fast forward this? Why are we here? You're here because it looks the entire place is set up. Why are you acting like it's just about the sandwiches? They wanted you guys to see the place all done up. The last time you guys were there, it was an empty room. And now there's a proper setup and decor and everything. So you're just being a hater about the sandwiches? Oh, I already tasted these sandwiches. Would it fucking kill you to eat some bread, Lala? Is that what it is? You're being subjected to carbs and it's too upsetting to you. All we ever see Lala do is drink smoothies and sparkling water. James makes a hilarious joke, which again leads me to maybe that's what Allie sees. He says to Schwartz, we know that you love some sloppy Joe. So funny. Now, will this shop ever open up? I don't know. I saw it when I was in LA in February, and it looked very much never going to open up. It's right like down the street from Sir. From the outside, it looks like there's nothing. It looks like there's nothing going on inside. Do I care that this shop will never open? I don't know. I think that if Katie cares, because Katie really put her whole back into this, I care. You know, Lala's been going on the internet saying that shorts and sandies is basic. Something about her is basically like shorts and sandies because Ariana's like Sandoval, she's never around. And Katie's like shorts, who's just waiting around for next steps. I don't know if that's true because I've seen the way that Katie is with Ariana. I think if it was really that much like misery, then it would, you know, I think that we would have seen it by now. Because even when Katie was with shorts and we were like, Katie, you got to get out of this relationship, it was very obvious that she hated this man. She doesn't hate Ariana. She loves Ariana. She's probably Ariana's only friend right now because the rest of you suck. So again, question, will the shop ever open? I don't think so. And do I care? No, I don't think I do. They take their sandwiches to Sir, and Lala tells Ariana about her meeting with Tom, and she keeps encouraging her to have more conversations with Tom. And Ariana again has to remind Lala what a toxic piece of shit Tom Sandoval is. You don't know this man because you saw him fucking scream orgasming in front of a made-for-TV therapist or lifestyle and performance specialist, whatever that means, doesn't mean that he's a good person. Ariana shares the story about how Tom locked the dog in Ariana's room and Maya ended up eating leftover chicken satay. Now, look, I've been defending Ariana. I love Ariana. I will never say that I don't love her. I get it that he put the dog in danger, and I get it that he's an asshole for locking the dog in the room, but why is there takeout on your nightstand? Is there a fridge in your room? I know that there was a fridge inside of that credenza. I remember that. So did you just like forget to put it in there? Why is there takeout in your room? Again, Tom Sandoval sucks. Should not have locked the dog in the bedroom. Totally put the dog in danger, etc., etc. But like, maybe don't leave your leftovers on your nightstand, you know? The girls tell Lisa Vanderpump about Shorts kissing Sheena, and then, you know, the girls as in Katie and Ariana, and they rag on him. And he thinks because he had a side conversation with Katie that that's enough and that he doesn't need to be ragged on. But he has a tantrum because there's nothing that Shorts loves more than Lisa Vanderpump's admiration and attention, right? And so the fact that Lisa Vanderpump is like, hey, why the fuck did you do that? He basically has a tantrum. He's embarrassed because he's not functioning like an adult man. He goes and he complains to Brock, another piece of shit, who then tells Schwartz that Katie's got a – there's a double standard because Katie is fucking Max, former cast member of the show Max. That's none of your business. It's none of your business. Also, Brock being like, Katie's so mad about something that happened years ago. Brock, your wife was assaulted while she was engaged to somebody else by this man. And you, of course, you think it's fine. You think it's fine. It's fine. Kids are joking around. I have been watching, by the way, Southern Hospitality. And that guy, Oisin, who's so fucking gross, is also Brock's buddy. So that makes sense that Brock would think that this was totally fine. But anyway, we get into this whole thing where Sheena is casually tracking the locations of 56 people. I'm sorry, that's fucking psychotic. She's like, it's not like I check it all the time. It's not like I'm refreshing it all the time. Then proceeds to tell a story how she checked on it and then in the morning checked it again and then checked it again and refreshed it again and checked it again. Why? Why is it any of your business? Like, this is unreal. Max is a guy that she bought an Apple Watch for, right? Because she dated him for like a second. And of course, he was another one of her best friends. And you still have his location tracked? And you still check on it? That's weirdo behavior. That is weirdo behavior. Katie, by the way, is zooted. I could tell. She is zooting and tooting. She is zooted to the nines at Sir. Because her speech is so slow in a zooted way that I think she's like, what is happening? why are you doing this to me? Question mark. Because what the hell? Lala gets so upset. Nobody's being real. You guys are being unreal. Everybody wants to be secretive. You're all so messed up. Ariana won't move out of her house. Leave her alone, you weirdo. Katie wants to sleep with Schwartz's best friend. I'm sorry. If I was married to a man who disrespected me this way, and then I found out that he disrespected me in a way with a friend of mine who was a bridesmaid at my wedding, and both of them lied to me about it for years, I would fuck his entire family. I would fuck his mom, his dad, his brothers, anybody that he's ever met. I'd fuck all of them. So for Katie to not be lashing out with words, but lashing out in actions, fine by me. Let her get it in, okay? Apparently also Sandoval went on a date. A fake date with this 25-year-old. Ariana tells her to please go save yourself, honey. He's bowling. He's got this outfit. The whole date is him posing and her making video of it. It's truly one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. Speaking of sad things, let's go over to the Valley. Now, I know that I am a person who has talked a lot about problematic people. And one of the things that really frustrates me is that Bravo likes to bring back problematic people because, as we've said before, there's no such thing as cancel culture. And it would be hypocritical of me to say that I'm here watching The Valley, a show put together obviously by Jax and Kristen, two people who are so problematic that were fired off the show for the racist shit that they've done. And I think it's fucked up, right? But the reason why I like The Valley is because everybody's a piece of shit. And if you're watching The Valley knowing that everybody's a piece of shit, it's actually a lot more enjoyable. Do not watch the show assuming that anybody is a good person. Now, granted, if and when anybody lashes out on the show and is microaggressive or racist or hurtful or defamatory or hurtful in a way that really gets into like oppression territory, yeah, I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna say this isn't fun. But the nice thing about The Valley is that they're all garbage and they all think that they're not garbage and they are presenting themselves in a way that they think that is good. And that kind of delulu is like my favorite. That kind of delusion is great because you're not righteous. Like, it's not self-righteous. It's very transparently stupid. And Jax is, if nothing, he is transparently stupid. This whole episode, Jax is obsessed with Kristen. Yeah, last episode and this episode. Last episode, he was obsessed with Kristen wanting to have a baby. He didn't have an idea. This episode, he's obsessed with Kristen and her boyfriend, Luke. And he first starts off with going to lunch with her and being like, I don't know about Luke. And she's like, stop treating Luke like he's just a person. Here's the thing that I realize. What we're not saying is Jax is obsessed with the casting of the show. I wouldn't be surprised if previously the way that they were going to present it was Kristen is single and she has a long distance boyfriend, and Alex, Kristen's ex-boyfriend, is still very much part of this friend group, and he comes around, and that is going to be the drama of the show, watching Kristen spiral as Alex shows up. And I think what Kristen did in granddaddy fashion is that she brought this new boyfriend who lives away and said, we're filming the show and you're staying with me for the entire summer. And I'm not letting these people decide how I will be presented, right? And the thing is, I mean, it's Kristen. So how people assume you're going to be presented is close to how you're going to be presented. And there's not much that you could do to present yourself in a different way because it's who you are. But Kristen basically changed the narrative because Jax keeps saying, this is my group. I don't know if I want Luke as part of my group. Okay, that means part of the cast. That's what that means. And so I think he's just irritated that Kristen brought in this new guy and now he has to film scenes with him. That's all it is. It changes what Jax's storyline was for Kristen. You're not a producer, Jax. That's not how this works. Jax also says, it's weird that Kristen wants me to hang out with her boyfriend. Like, we're not little kids. I shouldn't have to go and play with your boyfriend. Well, you're still playing with her ex-boyfriend. So what's up with that? Also, what's up with Britney's face? Now, I understand she had a lower face liposuction right before this. But I feel like trout mouth is not enough to call whatever's going on her face. Is it just the sadness of her actual existence that is showing up on her face? I'm not sure. But she looks insane. Also insane is her best friend and his hair. What is going on with that hair? As a person who wears fake hair regularly, my pride in life, that's an exaggeration. There's other things that I'm proud of. But one of the nicest things is that my hair girl is so good that people are always surprised that I wear fake hair. Sir, if you're going to wear a wig, do a better job. He looks like a Lego piece with its head, like with the hair piece on the wrong way. You know, when you stick the hair piece on the Lego and then it's like not twisted in the wrong way, in the right way. So the forehead is barely showing. That's what he looks like. He's giving Teresa a run for her money. What is up with your wig? You need a better wig, sir. Apparently next episode, there's going to be this whole fight about not just about Jesse and Kristen and how Jesse's a piece of shit. Good on Luke for calling out that dude. Good also on Luke for calling out Jax and saying, there's no reason for me to be friends with Alex or hang out with Alex. I don't understand what you're doing. But apparently Michelle is a Republican and a racist. And Kristen told somebody this, or Janet told Kristen, and then Kristen told, no, Janet told Zach. Zach told Kristen. Kristen told somebody else. I don't know. Jasmine, maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure what happened. But it comes out, and that's going to be the big fight. And I'm excited for that. Because when pieces of shit call other pieces of shit Republican as like an insult, but you're that same kind of piece of shit, I'm lolling. Because again, the DeLulu is next level. Summer House, speaking of DeLulu, I am really touched with these scenes of Paige and Amanda feeling bad for Lindsay. You know, Carl shows up finally. First, there's that weird moment at the dinner where Kyle calls out new guy Jesse about flirting with Paige. Craig and Paige actually handle that really, really well. Craig, I hate to say it, anti-vax Craig is looking great and behaving really well. So Paige is really doing a good job with him. Paige, if you could just get him to take his vaccines, I think that we're good to go. But so far, very problematic still. Mr. Anti-vax over here. He calls it out. Kyle tries to have a moment. Everybody's super super confused. Now, Amanda she says it once. It's fine. She's jokingly, she says, the way I'm going to kill you, like anybody who talks that way, obviously she's not going to actually kill you, Kyle. But Kyle's reaction to Amanda not laughing at his jokes is so funny. He's so fragile. Kyle is the most fragile person ever. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Lindsay and Kyle are the same exact person. They love to say crazy, outrageous things, and then they get so mad when people don't react to them in the way that they're expecting people to react. Speaking of Kyle and Lindsay, they both have a drunken conversation at the bar. It is insane. Neither of you should be talking about sobriety or anything of value here. You're both nuts. Amanda and Paige feel bad for Lindsay, and they say that she is obviously going through. I think what they both realized in that moment is that the putting up a front about how good your relationship is was not actually Carl pretending like Lindsay is a good person. It was Lindsay pretending like Carl is a person that she wants to be in a relationship with. It's Lindsay toughing it out. And so I think when Lindsay is like gritting through it and pretending like everything is fine, rather than them saying, you guys are fake, or Lindsay, you're so fake and phony and you're not being real, I think that what they're now starting to realize is Lindsay did that because Carl is a fragile person who's struggling with sobriety and he has demons and she's been protecting him. And in that way, I get it. I understand why they feel bad for her because Lindsay, because of who Lindsay is, they feel like she's getting the short end of the stick. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that they sat her down. It's very dramatic, that moment at the end where Paige, Lindsay, and Amanda are talking and the boys are talking to Carl and their succession music. It's so dramatic. Oh, I loved it. It was so dramatic. The strings, next level. But I'm excited to see where this goes. It's a good, healthy episode where people are actually saying, the reason why it's good this season, Summer House is good, is because people are actually saying what they are thinking and what they are feeling. They are not pretending anymore. They're not afraid of it anymore. Also, let's not pretend like Danielle adds anything to the show, because I forgot that she was on this cast. I did. There's party and fun and games and blood. Good for Sierra and what's his face? West. But they keep talking about Austin like he was some prize. And I'm really glad that Sierra was like, no, he was an asshole and I'm an idiot. I don't want to be made fool of again. And I'm glad that they say stuff like, oh, when this shit rolls out on TV, it's a lot worse than you think it is. Yes, let's do that more. Let's say those things more. Let's talk about those things more. And let's also talk about the fact that Lindsay and Carl probably wanted to both break up with their person, with each other on camera. They could have broken up over the summer. They could have broken up before the summer. But they waited until cameras were filming because they wanted to have their big moment. And you know what? Kudos to you. Kudos to you, because I'm enjoying it. That's it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I will be back later on in the week to talk to my brother about all things pop culture. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you next time.